It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Monday morning in New York City, July 7th. It is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number. I am not Geo. This guy to my left is not Boomer. The guys are off for the week. They will return on Monday the 14th after taking some time off. We've had the holiday weekend. We've had the Mets. We've had the Yankees. The Subway Series here and gone, but here and present is one former Pittsburgh Steeler. He's a former New York Jet. And I got to be honest, I was a little concerned when I got a text at 4:30. He was asking me if he was coming in there not this morning, but he is here, and I'm happy to see him. Willie Colon. Morning, Willie. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Dirk?
What's happening,
man? I love your shirt, by the way. It looks like you stepped off the cruise.
You know, I kind of figured we had a beautiful weekend. We had a lot of baseball Friday afternoons. And by the way, nice that these games weren't Sunday night baseball. They didn't play it Friday night with the holiday. So it's kind of cool having all the day baseball, the 4 o'clock start on Saturday. I kind of figured it's summertime. We've had some temperatures in the early 90s. Not Friday night. Was it Friday or Thursday night with the rain? It was just horrific. But the weekend was good. And I figured, how about we look a little summery today?
You did. You look good. I don't think I've ever... I'm used to you in a golf quarter suit.
Or a hoodie.
Or a hoodie.
Yeah. Well, the guy...
This is your official dad look, by the way.
Dad look?
Yeah, this is the dad look. I like...
Really?
This is, yeah. This is like, well, I got the paper. The kids are out the house. I can relax.
No, I can't wear this. No,
okay.
I mean, I am... I know I'm a dad. I'm proud of
you. Oh, you're not happy
dad.
With the dad look?
No.
Why? What's wrong? Your father.
That's I know. There's something.
I didn't call you old. I just said you look like a
I don't
dad.
Know. When I hear
dads
that,
have a certain look. You're representing.
I don't want
look.
See. That's not what I want. That's not what I want because I know what that look is. Usually nerdy.
No. I don't get nerdy. Nerdy is Al Dukes. That's not what.
Right out the gate.
No, you don't give me nerdy. You look like dad. Like the bills are paid. Mm. I just went grocery shopping. The kids are at the house.
I did all that this weekend. As a matter of fact,
you look like this is your. That's a dad look.
All right. I was going for summer, but dad looks fine too.
Yeah,
I suppose.
I think you look good.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. Yes, I am relaxed. Yeah. I had a very nice weekend. Actually, slept a lot. I'm going to get to. It's funny you bring up a dad look before we get to the Mets and Yankees because I will get to a Twitter post, whatever we call them, X post, that is relatable to everybody here. Eddie, uh-oh. Al, you, and myself. There's one message I saw this weekend that made me think of everybody that was going to be here today. So we'll get to that in a little while.
Okay.
But we start with the Mets and the Yankees. Yeah. And interesting weekend from a number of standpoints. Obviously, yesterday is the most recent, so we'll start there. And there's a lot of different ways you can go here. You can talk about... No, I watched on the SNY telecast. I didn't watch Yes. I was watching SNY yesterday. And before Aaron Judge comes up and the Yankees are already up, well, I think it was 2-0, maybe it was 3-0, whatever. You know, they say to Gary, whether it was Keith, whoever it was, says, you know, do you pitch to him here? Maybe it might even have been Gary talking to Keith. Do you pitch to Judge here? You know, you're already down in the game. You've got, I don't know who the hell is pitching for the Mets these days. And yesterday was one of these bullpen games with all these different.
Yeah, they tried to get away with what they did on Friday,
and they almost did get away with it. Yeah. They almost did. And literally, the next pitch, Judge hits the home run. And I will tell you, at that point, I think it made it 5-0. I'm pretty sure. And
was it against Pop?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Pop was the Austin Wells one.
Oh, okay.
That poor kid comes in. So they bring in, I'll get back to Judge in a second, but you bring up Zach Pop.
Right.
And so they bring Pop into the game, and Austin Wells is the first batter, and they're going over this kid's numbers, and they're like, well, in 5 innings, he's given up 3 home runs. 2 pitches later, Austin Wells goes deep on him. But yeah, that was kind of funny. But so the Judge home run puts them up 4 or 5 runs, and I literally said to my wife, I'm like, game's over. I'm like, you know what? This is the Mets won the series. They all these young kid arms. It's a bullpen game against Max Fried. She goes, well, who's Max Fried? I said, Max Fried is arguably the best pitcher in baseball. And I would think if you're a Met fan, if you score 2 or 3 runs against Fried, you did a good job.
Sure.
They're not coming back from 5-0 down. And then all of a sudden,
boom,
here came the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And they start chipping away. And you never know. The Yankees could go out and have a horrible week. Or the play that Cody Bellinger makes in left field,
it was gorgeous,
might end up being the play that we look back on.
It saved the game.
And potentially, and it sounds extreme, but if he doesn't make that play and that ball drops and the Mets take the lead or tie the game and the Mets go on to win, we're sitting here this morning saying, oh my God, the Yankees can't get out
of
their own way.
Can't stop the bleeding.
But this play he makes is really remarkable.
On a rope right here. Bang.
A, to catch it.
Yeah.
And B, to throw out Lindor, who is hung out to dry, kind of, because, you know.
Mind you, this is a no-look. He's looking at first as his glove is scraping the ground. And I'm saying to myself, there's no way he's going to get there. He just fires that thing. And even you see Soto's face. Soto's like, uh-oh. Like, he got it there.
Yeah, Soto had a nice weekend. Yesterday, tough day. That was a base hit that was clearly taken away from him by Bellinger, who, you know, there's always this conversation. This is always interesting to me, too, when we talk about moving guys around position to position. You know, one of the things they were highlighting yesterday was this guy plays everywhere. He can play center field. He can play right field. He can play first base. He can play left field. Now, obviously, he's not going to go play shortstop, but my point is we talk about these guys like, oh, man, he's a center fielder. You can't move him from center field.
Right.
Or this guy, man, he's never really played. Go catch the ball.
He's an athlete.
And Cody Bellinger proved you yesterday, go catch the ball and make a play, like I said, that I think allows the Yankees to kind of catch their breath. And by the way, you also had the double play at first base with Goldschmidt as well.
But even Judge had that little half-diving catch in right field that kind of really saved him. Because the thing with the Mets were doing yesterday, it was all about momentum. Mm-hmm. It felt like they kept bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. And you needed kind of those superstar plays for us to get out those innings, and we were able to get it. But all I can say, we're bloody but unbowed. And that's how you can describe the Yankees. I know we got the Mariners coming up, and I think we got one more against the Cubs before we go to All-Star.
Which will not be an easy series.
Right. And so I'm just happy we got out of yesterday with the dub.
Honestly. Had to have it.
You had to have it.
Had to have yesterday. And then the one thing about Fried, because, you know, you're going to look at the box score, and you're going to see, and I'm always on this. I mean, guy's going five innings. Give me a break. He pitched into the sixth and obviously got taken out after the first batter in the sixth inning. But to strike out, that's another key part in that game, to strike out Soto and Alonso back-to-back to end, I think it was the fifth inning, when, again, all the momentum was, it felt like, on the Mets' sides. They did enough things yesterday to kind of right the ship for a day. We'll see going forward. In terms of the Mets, though, you know, I sat here last week, and we were talking about, I guess it was last Monday, when I was, me and Al did the warm-up show, we were talking about the horrific weekend that the Mets had in Pittsburgh. They got outscored 30-4. They couldn't hit. They couldn't pitch. Everything's in shambles. They're beat up. And I remember saying, Al, if they get through this week, if they can, I said 3-3. Forget 4-2. I thought if they went 3-3 against the Brewers and the Yankees, that, and I think they now will be in Baltimore, that they did a good job of kind of stabilizing things. Well, they did you one better. They took 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee. And then the weekend,
they roughed up the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, Friday night was a weird game back and forth. But Saturday, they just, I mean,
clobbered us.
And we'll do more on the Yankees coming up, clearly. But the way they went out and attacked, and again, Carlos Rodon is just, you can't figure the guy out. They hit big home runs. They had big at-bats. And that was one of those games that the lead just kept growing and growing. They wound up winning, I guess, was 12-6. But I was, for a team that has and is lacking pitching, I know Manaea and Senga coming back, it looks like, this weekend.
Yeah, Senga's coming back, right?
This weekend they both should be back. It looks like, to me, they've kind of got things
the
back
waters
a little bit.
Yeah.
And now maybe if they can have a good week into the All-Star break, you'll have a better feeling about them that you had to prior than the June swing that they had.
Well, I think it's about timing. After the Yankees kind of got, you know, walked out of Toronto, you know, holding their heads, they kind of caught the Yankees' spirits down, and they were able to capitalize on that. But I think overall, the Mets are in a good place. I mean, like, to your point, for you to come out of this series when a lot of people think you weren't going to fare well, is a testament to this team. And people don't understand, this lineup is stacked. The Mets have a good, rough lineup. Like, they're tough. And I think Freedy kind of witnessed that yesterday.
I think you know, I agree with you. The problem is when you go through 3 weeks where you can't hit, you sit there and say, how is this even possible when Juan Soto is hitting and nobody else is, and you're losing game after game after game. The thing about the Mets, and this to me has been like this for a few years now, it's kind of like when one goes, they all go, for the most part. and when they don't, they collectively slump and they don't win games. And then when the pitching all of a sudden, you know, has the injury woes that they've had, you had a collective mess, which is what they dealt with in the latter part of June. Because remember, they started out June okay, and then all of a sudden things just got haywire on them, and they were in this downward spiral that was kind of tough to get out of. Meantime, the Phillies have jumped back into first place. But I do think when you look at this division, a lot of people thought it was going to be Phillies, Mets, Braves. In any order.
Yeah.
Those were the three teams. The Braves have had a stretch here, a stretch there, but nothing to speak of, really. The Marlins have been better, but they're not going to challenge you. The Nationals, while they've got great young talent, are 15 or 16 games under 500. They just fired their GM and their manager. This is a Phillies-Mets division, and that is what I think we're going to be looking at once we get through, you know, July. Like, September and October, I do believe, September, I think it's going to be a two-team race, obviously, in the NL East.
Well, listen, I also think health has to do with it, right? As you go into this All-Star break, you want to look around and feel like you're not depleted. And I don't think they are at this point. It looks like they're starting to get their wheels back. Like I said, I think the two wins against the Yankees, you get some momentum out of that. Obviously, they won it yesterday. That happened for them. Even Lindor striking out last at plate with Soto on deck. I was like, uh-oh, I got nervous there. But they was able to get out of that. So if you're the Mets, man, like you said, I think stable waters are right now. And it's just a matter of going into All-Star break week and in a better position.
It is. It's funny you bring that up, too, because Mendoza gets – I don't know if you were still on the game at that point, but when Mendoza gets run, I wanted him to go back at the umpire. It's like so you've got Luis – I'm not expecting Luis Torrens to go out there and hit a home run to, you know, to get them within one, but I am expecting Torrens to give you a decent at-bat.
Yeah.
Those two strikes that they and I know people get on me. I sound like the old man. Fair enough. Give me the damn automated strike zone, please.
At this point, it's redundant. Like it's not making sense. Like it's time for to bring out the robots. We're already AI generated community, a world. AI is running the world right now. It's time for the robots to come out.
And by the way, I don't want the challenge crap that they're going to do next year. The batter taps his helmet and they can look and they
put
it on the board.
Did you see the old boy that got pulled? They got tossed for tapping his helmet?
Yes, that was last week.
That was insane.
Yes, and but that's also an umpire that's got a short fuse and a very thin skin.
I mean, all these umps are ultra-emotional. None of them come with any steady calmness or professionalism. It's like bringing your wife to the ballpark. If she's over the game, she's cranky half the time.
Wants to
go
home.
What I mean? It is just like,
yep.
I'm like, was it a tap?
It was a head tap.
I thought it was
I didn't realize it. We actually were talking about it the next day on the show. Didn't even realize what it was. And that's what it was. It was a head tap, I guess,
but
mimicking.
But did you see a tap? I didn't see the tap. I thought he was adjusting his helmet. It was
he
a legit
might have,
tap.
But the way it was taken was that he hit his head to signify a replay.
So you can't touch your head?
I don't know. But that having been said, I don't even want that. I want an automated strike zone so this stuff doesn't happen. And I'm not taking anything away from the Yankees. The Yankees earned that win yesterday. They made the plays. They got the key strikeouts. But when Mendoza goes out there and he's screaming at the umpire, you know, after he gets tossed and he's kicking the dirt and he got in his face pretty good. The other umpire got in between
him. I don't even think he got to the ump before he was tossed.
He didn't.
He said like two steps. He's like, get out of here.
He was screaming. And you know what's interesting? Because when you're watching it, you're thinking, and you're watching this happen, as he's screaming at the home plate umpire, you're just waiting for the umpire to toss him. Because they were two egregious calls, but you also had the one on Soto earlier in the game, which was not a strike. So there were things going on in this game straight through that had him peeved. After he gets tossed, says his piece, and starts walking back, like, I wanted him to go back to the umpire. Like, get your money's worth.
Oh, yeah, if you toss me, I'm going to start flipping bases.
Absolutely.
Who's the ump in between them, the brother?
Probably the crew chief. I.
What's his role in that? Just to be the buffer?
Probably so that he doesn't do something he's going to regret, like hit the umpire and get suspended, I would think, and trying
see,
to
he would annoy
defuse
me.
It.
He would be, he's the guy that would annoy me the most. Because if I'm trying to get after you, I don't need you in my way.
Like the third man in.
Yeah. Like if I'm already tossed, let me earn the toss, right? Now you're not more ultra frustrated because not only did I get tossed, but I was able to get everything I wanted to get out.
Yeah, well, he stopped that. He stopped that. So anyway, that it's just one of those things that annoys me when I watch it. We saw it again yesterday. But again, the Yankees did deserve to win the game. Two other quickies here, Yankee and Met related. Pete Alonso not doing the home run derby.
First time ever.
How about that?
I think it's good. I mean, he's good. He's proved himself.
He's now an all-star.
Yeah, he's.
He says he wants to enjoy the experience. But it is interesting for someone who, like, loved that as much as anything.
Oh, that was his thing.
That was his thing.
It was like Vince Carter in the slam dunk contest. That was him. He owned it.
Vince Carter.
Yeah. Wow. I also say this. I do think Soto being snubbed is...
But it's not a snub. I disagree with that.
You don't...
I don't think so, because while he was good in June, when you look at what Juan Soto did or didn't do in April and May, You know,
but he's hot right now.
I know he's hot.
He's
right
popular.
Now.
He's got the contract. People want to see Soto out there, and I understand. I understand him not to your point, not because he started off slow and now he's cooking now. But some guys in all the sports, basketball, football, whatever, when the All-Star Game weekend is like they need it. Like KD needs to be in the All-Star Game, right?
You didn't think he wants to go though, honestly.
Yeah, I think he wants to. Why wouldn't he?
Oh, come on. Some
new uniform?
Oh, back in the day, these guys were on a private plane in the third inning of the All-Star Game, so get the hell out of there. They were.
I believe
it. I think as the story goes, you had guys like, I think, A-Rod and Jeter that would go. They would make their appearance. They'd play the first inning, and they'd get out of there, and they'd be on their way home.
I think my point is some people are staples. He seems like he should be a staple.
And I get that. And a guy like Francisco Lindor genuinely was excited that he is an All-Star starter, first time with the Mets, and I think that's really cool. But I do think, too, if you go year after year after year, you get a year off. I don't think you're broken up about it.
I even felt some type of way about Jeff McNeil not making it. I know he had the oblique strain earlier, and now he's starting to heat up a little bit. But he's a guy, I'm like, man, the guy's playing out of his skull right now.
Yes, but to me, you got to be consistent. You have to be consistent. And there's been
Should
with
have been
Soto,
a principal in your another life. You know how to hold court there.
Why?
Well, because some guys, when All-Star Weekend is not just about what you earn. It's about celebrating the celebrities in a sport.
But I'm not,
Soto's a celebrity.
I'm not saying I would have been upset if he was elected. That would have been fine.
I agree with you. I'm just talking.
But I don't have an issue that he wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy got beaten up here. I mean, if you think about, and not horribly because he's here for 15 years, but his struggles in April and May were real.
Yeah.
And I think there were a lot of Met fans, while a lot have certainly, you know, I don't want to say given him a pass. That's not the right word. They've kind of looked the other way and know that good stuff's coming.
Well, nobody wants to buy a Ferrari and realize like the brakes don't work.
You know, well, but you know that's not going to be the case with this.
Correct.
Guy.
But you always want to feel like when you make a purchase like this, that all is well, even when things sound clunky.
Well, he is showing you now that all is well.
Yes.
I mean, his last month has been spectacular. And even then, again, yesterday he had the one hit taken away from him. Yesterday wasn't great, but he had a good weekend. He's had a good week, and he is on the up, and this team, you would think, on the up as
but
well.
But it also speaks to, and I think we kind of overlooked, just to have the mental, I think, perseverance and fortitude to get through those months.
Mm-hmm.
When people are like, oh, no, did we make a mistake? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, Soto and everything he's been able to acquire – and they've been able to do in the sport. But overall, as a fan, if you're a Mets fan, you're like, man, I want the best of Soto now. I don't want to wait till October or something. I want now.
So that's where the money becomes problematic because, and I don't disagree with the notion of you're making $55 million a year. You don't get bad days. Like, I understand that. That's where when you attach the contract to the performance, it's problematic for the player.
Yeah.
That said, it's a long season. You need Juan Soto to be playing better and better and better and hit the, you know, the pinnacle, the climax of his performance, like in September and October.
I agree.
So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got CeeLo in for me this week. Eddie is back. Al is here. Everybody's here except for Boomer and Gio. And we've got you guys as well on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
All right, nice to have you with us. 6:25. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Gio. Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number. On anything Mets, Yankees, baseball related, football too. We'll get to all of that and more. But in for me, sitting to my right, is one Chris Lopresti. What's up, Chris?
Good morning. We will be very Subway Series heavy today.
I'm sure we will.
Understandably so. We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, the Mets almost beat the Yankees 3 in a row to take the season Subway Series, but Cody Bellinger had a big hand in making sure that didn't happen.
And a pitch. Swing on, hit the left field. Bellinger coming on! He made the catch! Tried to double up the runner at first. Throw back! He got him! Cody Bellinger with a wonderful play.
Mark Leiter clapping his glove. That was an extraordinary play. And just remember, that's Cody Bellinger in left field.
It sure was. Dave Sims and Susan Walbin here on The Fan. One of three double plays the Yankees turned in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings to preserve their lead. They end up salvaging the finale 6-4 in a game where the Mets...
That's right. I forgot about the double play where they scored a run. but they got the two outs for it, too. Another big...
bases loaded, nobody
yeah, yep. That was another big one, too. I know they scored the run, but whatever. Could have been a lot more.
So the Yankees win a game where the Mets threw Chris Stavinsky, Zach Pop, and Brandon Waddell for the first
sure.
six innings.
Yeah, I mean, great. Jeez. Sounds fantastic.
In the immediate aftermath, a lot of focus on the Bellinger play, doubling off Lindor with the throw to Paul Goldschmidt at first base.
To finish it off with that throw, I'd like to know what the velo was on that throw, and he basically hit me in the chest going around Lindor, so that was incredible and game-changing play right there.
I believe I saw 89.9 miles per hour. Goldschmidt, I guess, with Susan here on the fan. He said he hit him in the chest. It was basically head high. Yeah. I mean, that ball would have traveled quite a bit further had it not been online, so tremendous throw.
That was
for
a
him.
Rocket from left field.
Yeah, and I mean, he almost tumbles forward, so to kind of gain his balance and then
make
that
throw. Just
saying,
really, during the break, like, it's a hell of a play, but it's interesting because if he misses that ball, that might be an inside-the-park home run.
Yeah, because
that thing's going to the track.
Wide,
yeah. Going all the way
Soto's
into the corner.
Not the fastest
that's true.
Runner, but,
all right, that's true.
Yeah.
But it's two or three bases.
Yes, no doubt about it. Goldschmidt himself turned a slick unassisted double play in the eighth. Aaron Judge homered again in this one. Two-run shot in the fifth with first base open with Carlos Mendoza. Took some heat for that, at least from the fans and social media. Made it 5-0 Yanks. Judge later added a sack fly to pad the lead.
You know what that felt like to me, even watching SNY? It felt like, just pitch to him. We're not winning this game anyway. Like Max Fried's pitching.
We're rolling through this.
We've got these guys we never heard of pitching. It's fine. We've won the first two games. He pitched to him and then promptly hits the home run.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Interesting. It was another first pitch homer for Judge. He's got 11 already, which matches a career high. So if you're going to pitch to him, it's almost like early in the count, you got to kind of get him to chase.
Yeah.
Because if you put it over the plate, he's probably going to put
right,
it
you're not
the
sneaking
seats.
A fastball to get ahead
and
on
that,
him.
I believe, was a changeup. Mm. So they even tried to mix it up a little bit, just got a little bit too much plate, and he deposited it over the wall. Sigh of relief for Aaron Boone as his squad snapped a 6-game losing streak.
It's a real gritty win. We're going through it right now. And for the guys to just, a lot of good things happen today, withstand some punches back and them coming back a little bit.
Any ninth inning comeback bid somewhat sabotaged by the home plate umpire, especially with Luis Torrens in the box leading off the inning. That led to the ejection of Carlos Mendoza after a couple of pitches he didn't like, called strikes. He came out and certainly got his money's worth.
You want to get guys on base and kind of keep the line moving, so you know, hopefully Soto and P gets a chance here, and then you get two calls like that, they don't go your way. Just pretty frustrating.
Lindor knocked in a pair in this game. He had a two-hit game and an RBI in Saturday's win, but after the finale, he was focused on that Bellinger play and kind of blaming himself for getting doubled off at first. Says he was focused on the wrong umpire making the call on Bellinger's shoestring catch.
Look at last. I looked at Mike at second base. I should have looked at last because usually the closer umpire to play is the one that makes the call. I looked at Mike, and by the time I turned around, it was a little too late.
Maybe he's right, but
very tough spot.
Yeah, I don't know, no matter who he's looking at, if he gets back in time, because
Cody fired that thing.
Well, right, and if you start heading back and he traps
bounces,
it, you're going to get forced out.
Well, in that
second.
Case, it's one out instead of two, but that's a very, you know,
you just
it's easy
no
for
man's
us to
land.
Say after watching the slow-mo replay 4 and 5 times.
That's true,
and
too.
I saw some people criticizing him for not sliding back into first. Did you happen to catch the first base coach on that play?
No.
He's basically like, no, not doing anything.
No direction.
At the very end, he kind of points to first. Like, I'm like, dude, you see the ball coming. How about giving him a get down slide?
We don't think those guys do anything anyway. You should do something in that spot.
Yeah,
that's a very good point. What do they do?
They're always the guys get down to first. They're whispering in their ear,
high fiving.
They got the stopwatch for the.
I would say the third base coach does more than the first base coach.
I agree
because 100%. The play can be behind the runner, and you're supposed to be helping and making a call if they're gonna. The first base coach.
Now,
make sure you don't
they
get
look like
ball.
Crossing guards.
And the poor guy for the Mets at first base is so short. He's so much shorter than all the players. It's actually funny.
Yeah,
poor guy.
They do. I mean, look, usually. In addition to during the game, one's an infield coach, one's an outfield coach. So they do stuff pregame, and I'm sure they help with scouting reports and all that. But as far as the in-game action goes,
Like a lot.
They're going to hold all the paraphernalia the guys take
well,
off
the
and get down
base.
To first base.
Yes.
That's what I mean, the guy at first.
He's like your equipment manager.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It's true.
So they like to whisper in the player's ears, hey, here's what the pickoff move looks like.
It always looks like they're just checking the spirit of the players. How you doing today? Everything's good? All right.
Yeah, pretty much. So a win for the Yanks, but the Mets take 2 out of 3s. The team split the 6 games this season. I'll take you back to Friday night's victory, 6-5 in favor of the Mets, and about, I'm going to say, 3,600 miles to the east. You had Evan Roberts at the start of his family vacation.
This is amazing. This guy's in Europe.
In Paris. Yes, it's a European trip.
It's a family,
vacation. I believe it's a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that.
2 weeks.
So it's not just him and his wife?
I don't know. I'm told that.
He took the kids.
He brought the whole
gang.
Correct,
okay. Yes. And then maybe the in-laws. That I don't know. They
I'm a loser.
The in-laws do live with them. So I don't know if it's a full.
Yeah, you can't leave the in-laws at home while you're kind of.
Now I'm understanding why he did a podcast.
That's the point of having in-laws.
Yeah.
That live with you.
Correct.
So you leave the kids and you and the wife? I get that. For sure.
All right. So if I could just set the stage here.
Go ahead.
He did the show Thursday. Okay.
Right.
So the 3rd.
Okay.
And then I believe took a red eye to Paris that night. So, of course, the Friday was a day game. Mm-hmm. Yankees-Mets was what? Like 3:10 or 3:15
3
something
o'clock,
like that. Yeah. So I think this first clip we're going to hear, this was an ex post, short video, a little quick recap. I believe after they flew and arrived, I guess he watched the game on DVR, because by the time this was posted, it was Saturday morning our time.
Okay.
So 6 hours ahead, I guess, afternoon in Paris. And I think he's on a bus because he shoots this video where he's trying to get the right angle on his. Got this chin and neck rolls, and the Eiffel Tower is in the background. But then, as the video goes along, you see it start to move. It's on a bus or a train or something, and he just had to chime in on what he thought of Friday night's game.
Tremendous, tremendous Mets victory over the Yankees. Stunningly, stunningly, Jeff McNeil with a clutch two-run home run. And somehow they find 27 outs from that cavalcade of crap. Maybe Reed Garrett's going back in the circle of trust.
And you kind
of
hear this, maybe some silverware clinking in the background. So there he is on the, I guess, a bus, I'm going to say. And that was just the start. There were a couple ex posts. And then, yes, there was a Rico Bronya series reaction
from Paris
at like 3:30 in the morning Paris time.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
You said Paris time?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's what? That'd be 9:30 p.m.
It was like last
here.
Night for us. So the game ends, or wrap up all that. But 3:30 in the morning.
He's an interesting individual. That's for sure. Him on a tour bus.
Correct.
Well, Al, you're going to Montana kind of next week, correct?
Yes.
Al, you're going to Montana.
He is. Will you go on any tours, like with a group?
I'm not sure. I don't have any booked. I don't have anything.
I was shocked. I said to him, he has nothing planned.
You have
right
no
now.
Idea what you're doing when you get there as of now?
Yeah, why are you going to Montana?
Seems like a great place to go. Seems like there'd be less
humans.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's going to be crowded there. I think, you know, I kind of found out after the fact that this is a busy time of year. Although I just go and just be like cowboys walking around.
In college, we played the University of Montana, and the only thing I can say is the sky is big. There's. This is big sky.
That's what I hear.
Is that the conference they're in, by the
it
way?
It is the big
sky.
But we stepped off the plane like we were aliens. Like we were a bunch of New Yorkers. We were just staring at the sky.
Wait till they get a load of him walking.
That's up in Missoula, right?
Yes, correct.
He's where Montana State is, the Bobcats.
Gotcha.
Will you go another all Bobcat. Cowboy hat and boots?
That's what he said.
I might get a cowboy hat. I don't know.
Are you going to do some hiking?
Eh.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
There's real animals in those woods.
That's true. Yeah, he should. It is beautiful out there. But he won't.
No, it's gorgeous. I just
shakes
figured.
His head, no.
I see myself.
But Jerry just asked, you know, what's your agenda? And, you know,
yeah.
Really seemed like you had much going on.
Well, I mean, I have ideas of what I like. There's one of the big parks is out there. Yosemite or Yellowstone.
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 He's done a lot of research.
There's one of them.
Central Park.
There's the big resort out there. What's it called, Eddie? Big Top Resort or something? Big Sky Resort.
Yes.
Is that where you're staying?
No.
Oh.
So. There's the downtown area.
Okay.
Downtown.
I'd be very busy.
Yeah, right.
I see him.
How many days is this trip?
5.
Oh, boy.
5 days in Montana.
Over under 2.5 before he's like,
I'm going to Montana. 5 days without a plan.
I actually think, you know what? I think his girlfriend will have ideas.
No, yeah, she has no plan.
Oh.
No, this is my
plan. This is all you.
He said he asked Grok, what's a good place to go?
You know what? So if you go back about 6 months when he started bringing up this Grok for ideas thing, I was like, come on. I kind of do the same thing now.
No, I get that,
but what
I'm saying is this wasn't a, you know, Gina production.
This was him. No, I know.
And then went to her.
He kind of put the parameters in, right, of what you were looking for. Yeah.
Which is wild.
Because she's interested in an adventure.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You see different places.
So what's, I mean, is there anything going on, like a festival? Are they known for anything in particular? Like
I hope there's not a festival. No, I think it's just known for not being like New York. That's all I'm going for. I want something not like here. I want to be something in the United States that's not like here.
Oh, he was killing Evan for going to Paris on July 4th weekend.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. You get all the rest of the year you can go to Paris.
And Evan's very patriotic.
Yes, he is. I know. He goes to the homes of boyhood presidents and, homes or whatever the hell that he says.
You're right. Usually his vacation is planned around. Like, hey, we're going to wherever. You're like, why are you going there? Because I can go to the president's
this
childhood home.
This is where Franklin, Roosevelt was. He grew up.
Yeah, those people I stay away from. I went on a couple's vacation not too long ago with my best friends and his wife, and they were so like enthralled. Oh, this is where the knights were, and they ate here, and they did study here. And I was like, don't ever leave me on the beach. I want nothing to do with any of that. Like, I can Google if I'm really that interested. We got Google. You know, I'll figure it out there.
Evan's a sightseeing guy.
Yeah, I am not. I am a beach bum. Leave me on the beach.
I'm with you.
When you said Evan's a suffer side, I thought you were going to say psycho.
No. I know. He's a historian. I get it.
A lot of history in Paris, so that's where they are. I don't know where else they're going on their European vacation, but...
I'm sure you'll find out with another podcast today or tomorrow.
Yeah, there'll be multiple Ricos while he's overseas.
Could you imagine if you said to your wife, like, here it is, this... And I'm not making fun of him by any stretch.
We are.
I'm not. I will tell you why. When you look at that Rico Bronya podcast and you look at the numbers on YouTube, it does really well.
Yeah.
So I love the dedication to it, but... Could you imagine spending, what would you say conservatively, a trip to Paris for $15,000, $20,000?
First class, people, you think?
I have no idea. My point is you're spending a fortune to go on this trip.
I'm with you, no.
Yeah, no.
And you're doing these shows. Like,
to be fair, the expo, the, 30 seconds, or just the idea that he's taking time out of his...
Oh, but you said he did a Rico Bronya.
They did a Rico, middle of the night. So it wasn't like he said, hey, let's postpone the trip to the Louvre here. We're going to do a Rico, in the middle of the day. So he's picking his spots as he normally does. It's just fascinating.
My wife would kick me out of the condo.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Get out.
Turn it off for a few hours.
He put the Rico post out on X, the link, to which one commenter replied, quote, why, with 3 question marks, you're the worst family man ever.
I hear him. I get it.
Al, will you be checking in with people while you're in Montana? No, I want an Al Dukes update in Montana.
I'll post. I'm sure I'll put some stuff on social media.
But he will not be following what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees.
Yeah. Nor is he going to, call in to do a podcast with me.
No.
Like, he's on vacation.
I'll follow along with what the Mets and Yankees are doing. I don't want to come back and all of a sudden, Juan Soto has a broken ankle and I don't know what's going on.
Let me rephrase.
I'm going to check in.
You'll follow along the way you normally do. You'll wake up and you'll check your feeds and whatnot, but you're not, breaking down the box scores and managerial decisions.
But I'll have an idea.
You should come back with a tattoo, Al. That's how I know if the trip was worthwhile or not.
See, I was going to Montana to get away from tattoos. Like, here, it's just tattoo people.
I think the more tattoos.
Yeah, I don't know if you're getting away from tattoos.
Yeah, when you get into the wilderness, people go tribal. You're going to see more tattoos.
I was hoping less.
Said he's coming back with a horse. He's going to ride into work on a horse.
Hey, whimsy wasn't enough. Now you want a horse?
Easier to park out front here, Jay.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, boy.
Good point.
All right, Mets and Yankees both off today. Mets will play in Baltimore tomorrow. The Yankees will host the Mariners beginning tomorrow. As far as the All-Star game goes, the Mets have 3. Well, both teams have 3. You got Alonso, Lindor, who's a starter, and Edwin Diaz, no Soto, as you already discussed. I agree with you. First 2 months of the season, it's like...
Yeah, if he was there, I get it.
Sure.
He's a superstar.
But,
that's fine.
Yeah. And for the Yankees, Aaron Judge, which we already knew, he will be a starter. Jazz Chisholm, which I love on the rosters, listed as a second baseman, yet the Yankees continue to play in the third.
You don't play there anymore.
I'm just telling you how they listed him. So, and you got Max Fried, who, of course, pitched yesterday's game. I'm sure you guys saw, we discussed briefly on the warm-up show, they had the MLB All-Star Selection Show, which was scheduled for, I think, 5 o'clock yesterday.
Okay.
And it was delayed nearly 10 minutes because ESPN had to finish airing a cornhole match.
I mean, it's important. I mean, I don't know what you want. CeeLo,
the baseball fans were not happy. Tuned in to ESPN to see those all-star rosters, and they had to wait for the cornhole match to finish up.
Why would you bump cornhole like ESPN News for the finale?
What I say. It's like in dodgeball, ESPN, the Ocho. You know,
right.
I don't know. And that's why I saw they must be cornhole. Cornhole must be paying ESPN. ESPN's paying the cornhole league.
There's no doubt.
No, ESPN's
not
paying the cornhole league.
Really?
I looked it up. I don't know.
Like, I know they put that stuff on at 5 a.m. when Al and I were. But I do believe that. I think those are buys in some cases. Maybe they're not. I don't know.
2002 Travelers Championship.
I've always said I'm the dumbest guy in the room. So here's another example. I came across and I don't know if it was real or not, what I was watching, professional pillow fighting.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
I heard about this.
That's a thing.
Is that real?
Well, that's like slap fighting.
They put them in like in a boxing ring, right, or something like that.
And they had turnaround hits. Too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But when they were hitting each other from in front, it looked as absurd as you might think it would look. So that's why I didn't know if I was being trolled.
The
bed.
And they got named for the moves and all that.
So this is a real league. Into this. He's into cornhole. You must love slap fighting.
I'll watch anything
too.
On a toilet. Yeah. I'll watch
on the toilet.
Yeah, I'm on the toilet. I go down a rabbit hole. But and I came across a pillow fight, and there was two grown men getting like.
You know, I saw it this weekend.
And they wear mouthpieces, which is wild. I didn't think you would ever need a mouthpiece
for a pillow fight.
For a pillow fight.
But you don't want to lose any teeth, you know?
Yeah, but who's ever got their tooth knocked out from a pillow fight?
I don't know.
Unless there's a bar of soap in it.
The slap fights, I could understand.
I didn't know there was a league until this weekend, so I don't know.
And these people
are pillows?
Tremendous, Eddie.
And these people getting their wrist taped. They got mouthpieces. They're getting after each other.
Getting their wrist taped.
Wow.
They're getting a pre-match rub-down massage as well.
I don't know. Why not? But they're whacking the hell out of each other.
I could tell.
And these are like two substitute teachers that are just fed up.
Not what I saw. That's why I didn't know if I was being trolled. These are
two guys I saw
that should have been fighting. Like they were
big
in
men.
Shape.
Yeah, the guys I saw look like two
pillow fight.
Like two substitute teachers that are just fed up with life, and they decided to sign up for this.
Very well,
they were knocking the hell out of each other.
Oh man, that's great. That's great. No Pete Alonso for the Home Run Derby. I'll bring you some sound on that coming up next hour. Okay.
All right, that's it. We're good.
Time-wise.
I want to hear Joe B at some point this morning.
I will play that. We've got some Salicata audio.
We're going to get to that at 7
Evan
o'clock
audio.
As well.
We got all kinds of goodies for you.
Sounds good. All right, Chris,
Anthony Volpe's
very much.
Dad as well, though I have to bleep that.
Looking forward to that. I cannot wait because that's going to be part of the conversation coming up at 7 o'clock. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, get to your calls. Also, more on the Yankees later. We will get to what he just referenced with Sal from Thursday, and we'll tie it all up at 7 o'clock, and we'll get to some football as well. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
All right, welcome back, fans. CBS Sports Network, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. The guys will be back next Monday. I think I heard Al say they're probably golfing every day of the week together, so good for them. They can enjoy themselves. One more thing with the baseball. Obviously, we're going to mix in the Mets and the Yankees all morning, there's no doubt. But one thing, you know, with the Yankees, just from the way the weekend went. So I had a friend of mine that went to all three games. And, yeah, well, I'm pretty sure if he's not a Mets season ticket holder, he has, like, one of those 40-game plans or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he had access. But he went to all three games. And he actually called me on the way home, in traffic, of course, after yesterday's game. And we were just talking about the atmosphere. And he was, you know, discussing, you know, a good amount of Yankee fans, which you could tell, you know, watching the game. But he also thought a very good Met crowd, too. And, you know, when you look at where the Yankees were going into that game, and I would say the increased pressure on Aaron Boone, you know, with the way the series in Toronto went, with the way Friday and Saturday went, they go into this game on Sunday. Do you imagine the feeling inside that dugout if you're Aaron Boone, you're up 5-0, and then all of a sudden you look up and it's 5-4? And you've got to start, and my point is how important no one game in a 162-game season defines your season. I don't believe that. But like you talk about a pressure-filled final 3 or 4 innings from a manager that at some point has to start feeling a little bit of the pressure. Like the enormity of that win for him and this team.
Yeah, but I think Boone has been through so many pivotal situations like that. I think he's just accustomed. He built a callus towards it. But I also do agree with you. At some point as a manager, you got to feel like, man, how much do I have left in the bag, right? Especially because, like, you go to Toronto, you get beat up, Mets are beating you up, and you're looking around like, man, I need some. Because at some point, I think I've said this to you before, like, there's nothing worse than a coach or a skip falling on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to motivate, when you're trying to say the right thing.
How real is that?
Very real. I've sat in rooms, man, where the guys has montages. I mean, he's doing everything he can to motivate guys before the night of a game. And you look across the room and everybody's like, it's dead
over.
In the eyes, crickets in the room.
So even though that guy's doing his job, It's just, he's lost you.
I know I've said this before, and I know you guys get on Boom about it, but winning is truly the ultimate deodorant. Man, when you win it, even though there's a lot of nasty going on behind the curtain, but you walk out the building with a dub, everybody kind of pushes that back. But when the losing starts to stack and toxicity starts to kind of, you know, move around the locker room, and a coach is doing this, you know, bringing people in to speak, giving you examples of Navy SEALs conquering the hill and all this other nonsense and all this crazy stuff, and then nothing's working, you start to see guys be like, man, they checked out. And that's a hard place to get out of.
And that goes to the character of this team. Like, there's no way, shape, or form that I think the Yankees have checked out.
No.
But, you know, you talk about...
I think Sunday was indicative of that. They kept
playing. For sure. They made play after play after play. And it was a sloppy series. I'm not saying they did everything perfectly this weekend, but when they really had to have a win on Sunday, they played some of their best. Now, there were also bad plays. You had to play at first base when the Mets were making their comeback. Where if the umpire doesn't hit the ball, the Mets score another run or at least get a couple more bases out of that. So there were bad plays, too. I'm not saying it was all perfect.
Freed had that one bad error in the beginning when the ball, popped right out of the
glove. So it wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But they did make the plays. I guess my point is, you say that he's been through and he has. So he's got all the battle, all that stuff. Six in a row, though, against the Blue Jays and Mets. Like, I can't think, and maybe it has happened since he's been here. Like, I think
it hasn't happened since the 2000s, the early 2000s, since they went on a six-game losing streak like that.
It's right.
I think it's like that.
And to also, see, to me, I look at it this way, and Al will know this because we've talked about making bets when you feel like yesterday would have been one of those days. I said to my wife, and I didn't do it, but like, if I was going to make a bet today, I would pick the Yankees to win this game 15-1. It just felt like they were going to break out, and I really thought they were going to as you're watching the game at 5-0. But through this entire week, there's been a feeling of, I don't know if they win. Whereas I haven't had that feeling about this team in a long time.
Well, I think some of it's because of their pitching, too, right? I think you look at Freed yesterday getting pulled with 5.5. You're like, man, you know.
Get to the bullpen.
Correct.
Yep.
And so I think that's some of it. And also, man, listen, I think some of the splash plays, we talked about Judge, we talked about Cody, we just need more consistency in that regard, right? I think Friday was indeed. We played tough, but we just can't get out our own way. But we're going to need those type of plays to kind of push us along. Especially, like I said, we got Seattle coming up. The Cubs are no joke. And we got to get – you don't want to go into All-Star Week and beat up.
No, and –
now, hopefully yesterday was a momentum strike.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, the Blue Jays, three games up. They've won 8 in a row. I don't know that they're that – they're a good team. They got a good lineup. I don't know that they're that good. I don't know that they're going to keep up. Clearly, they're not going to keep winning every day. But the Yankees are going to be in for a fight. There's no question about it. A division – it is amazing how when they were up, I don't know what it was, 6-7 games, I really thought they were going to run away and hide and win this division by 15 games. Mm. But you give teams like Toronto for hanging in there, taking care of business at home against the Yankees, and also Tampa. Tampa's right there with
Tampa
the Yankees.
Tampa never goes
they
away.
Don't go away.
They stay in the shadows.
It really is remarkable. So it's not an easy division. I never said it was, but I thought yesterday, you know, for Aaron Boone, who has been... You know, there are some Yankee fans that like him. We have Chris McMonagle that works here, loves the guy. But
like
for the
him.
Most part, most Yankee fans don't. Most Yankee fans have had enough of Aaron Boone. And you mentioned, you know, falling on deaf ears. To me, it doesn't feel that way, not with this group.
Not
that's
now.
The most important thing.
And they haven't shown signs of that. I mean, he's doing the All-Star game, right? Like, he's doing the lineup for the All-Star game. So,
yeah. But that doesn't mean much. I mean, to me, if you're going to make a change, you make a change. But there's no sign of that ever coming down the pike at all. I'm just talking about the fan reaction to him. That's all.
Yeah, I think, listen, all this is New York. You know, we're hyper-emotional about our baseball, and especially there's an expectation. But it comes with the market, right? Like, when you hear a judge speak to other guys about what it means to play here, expectations, the consistency, the brand, it all matters each and every day. So, I mean, it comes with it. I think Boone, who has played here, comes from a baseball family, understands what that means. I think he wears it just as good as any skip we've ever had.
Well, and you'll hear all these guys talking about how he's always got their back, which is why I think the team...
Which goes a long way, too. When you feel like
I certainly
coach,
think so.
Yeah, when
a, so if like when he gets beat back. Up, so he gets beat up by the fans for never criticizing his players publicly, you as the player appreciate that.
Because guys go through slumps, and it's not all baseball. Sometimes it's off-the-field issues or you're in your own head, and you already know what comes... You already knows what it means to be a professional athlete, let alone be a professional athlete in New York City. And it's another thing for you to be a skip or a manager or a coach, and you're getting beat up, not only by the media, but also a guy is saying something about you in the media that you now have to defend, right? But if you feel like Coach can at least give you that buffer or wall, it gives you some breathing room, right? Because every ball player lives in their head.
For sure.
Not every guy can walk away to the locker. Like, not every guy leaves the locker room and feel like, oh, this. Some guys can.
Where they leave work behind them.
Yeah, most guys live in their head. They sit in their car. They worry about the game. They worry about they didn't do what they need to do, who's their opponent. It's a 24-hour cycle, especially because of social media. You got to understand this. For today's athlete, there is no turnoff. You know what I mean? Because of social media, because of TV, because of the paper, because of, like, we wake up and we go to sleep with our performance each and every day. And so for a Skip or a coach or whoever to kind of say, hey, man, you know, I got them. Whatever the arrows you want to shoot, I could take them all in the chest. A guy feels like, whew, because every athlete feels like they're going to come out of it, right? No matter whatever slump or whatever they're going through, they're going to come out of it. So to give them that breathing room or kind of that woo-saw moment means something. To not have that as an athlete is brutal, man. It's tough.
You know, it's interesting what you're talking about, and it's a great segue for what we're going to get into after the break, but it's interesting what you say because what I'm hearing is you want an athlete that doesn't looks like he doesn't give a crap when he's away from the field,
yep.
And he can basically compartmentalize, whatever.
I got you.
He can keep work with work, and he can go home and shut it off, and then just, you know, be dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want your athlete to care and be fiery. But that could also be a detriment to him. It's almost like you can't have both.
You can't have both, and I think some people. Mix up passion with professionalism.
Mm.
And the reality is I was an alternate passionate player, right? I played with my heart on my sleeve. I was very fiery, and I kind of brought that to the table. But then I played with guys like Nick Mangold, did Brickenshaw Ferguson, who guys who played at an extremely high level, got the job done, but you called them 8 o'clock at night, they were watching Friends.
Mm.
You know, with me, I was icing my knees, had my, you know, I was doing all the things so I could be ready for the next day. That doesn't mean they didn't love the game as much as I did. It just means they just were able to compartmentalize what they needed to do and how to go about their business. And sometimes being a professional has more longevity because if you're just living it in each and every day of your life, as long as you're a pro, man, you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
And guys burn out a lot. You can see it because when a guy's burnt out, go to a practice field when his unit is kind of like together laughing and joking, and he's on the other side of the field looking at the trees. I've seen it.
He's checked out.
He's just
out.
Like his mind. Yeah. He's not doing it consciously. Like his just mind is just giving up. It's looking for an escape. So it goes back to what we were talking about having a coach that can take some of that off from by like, hey, what's, you know, why is Jerry not playing today? Like, you know, he was consistent last month, da 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 da. Oh, well, he's going to be fine. He's working through some things. We're working with him. Having that buffer in the media gives the media what they want to hear for the most part, mm-hmm. even if they think it's all BS. But it also allows that guy when he's locker room coming out the shower, he doesn't have 10 guys asking him what's wrong with you. You know what I mean? Because the manager or the coach has already spoken up for him. So it's a lot. But today's athlete, because I didn't have it. Like right. I didn't get social media. Social media didn't really spark up to 2013.
All right, so hold that okay. thought because that's the perfect segue into what we're going to get into coming up in a couple of minutes. And we'll get to the calls too because I think they're kind of relating to this as well. We'll take a quick break when we come back. That and a whole lot more. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.